Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
You are now listening to the Solid Apology.
That's right. That's right.
How's it going, everybody? This is Everett Tucker hitting you live at Blog Talk Radio. You can hear me live over at mysticpolitics.com. There is a Blog Talk Radio player over in the upper right-hand corner. All you got to do is refresh until you see a title that says Weekly News, and then you will be hearing us live. This is a new segment that we've started to really showcase a lot of the stuff we don't have time to go into while we're discussing all our reptilian theories and other moonbat kookery. And the title of the show is the Weekly Wrap-Up or Mystic Politics Radio Weekly News with Everett Tucker. This is going to be strictly me. I think we might come with a separate program for Carolyn as well, if time permits in her schedule, where she can showcase and get a little hour of me time in there. But pretty much the purpose of this segment is going to be to catch you guys up on a lot of the news, which is very underpublicized through the various news resources throughout the week. This will be a collection of cool articles I find on Raw Story, articles by Carolyn Harris, articles at roguegovernment.com and blacklistednews.com. Pretty much the only place I go anymore for reliable good news. I don't worry about searching all throughout Google. I have RSS feed readers over on the blog page of mysticpolitics.com, which has the top 10 newest stories from Blacklist News, roguegovernment.com, Raw Story, and Carolyn Harris's 10 most recent blog entries or articles. So what we do, I see there's always been a couple questions in regards on how to listen live. At mysticpolitics.com. Basically, it takes about a couple minutes to get archived, so if you don't want to miss the first couple minutes, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics, or you can just go to mysticpolitics.com and refresh until you get hit with something live. Now, what I'm going to do is, let's see here, I'm going to go ahead and drop some instructions in the chat room, and let's see here. Dead air. I know this comes out very poorly on the other end of the radio. I'm sorry for the dead air, but so yeah, that's pretty much it. And a lot of the sites that we go to, as far as social networking, is youtube.com/mysticpolitics. You can check out both our weekly shows. Will be updated there within about 24 hours of the original broadcast, cut up and just added with an image to make it a video to capture a lot of the audience there at youtube.com/mysticpolitics. We also have a Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/mysticpolitics. And we have our website, our Facebook, our MySpace, our YouTube. Everything is coordinated with the Twitter, as well as our Blog Talk Radio feed is coordinated at at twitter.com. Another one we have there is Facebook. You know, it's like a mile-long page. You can go search for pages and search for Mystic Politics Radio or Mystic Politics in there, or you can go to Facebook.com/mysticpolitics is my personal page. There's also links at the bottom of the page on mysticpolitics.com. You can click visit us on Facebook, visit us on YouTube, visit us on Twitter, and I forget the fourth one. But that is pretty much what is going on. So without too much more further ado, I think we are going to go ahead and get into these articles. Now this week, which is very fascinating to me, is it's all about moon stuff. And they're gearing up for a republicity type thing for July 20th, which marks the 40th year anniversary of the, some say, staged moon landings. So a lot of the articles this week are in relation to that. First and foremost, this is a Star Wars type article here. This is sourced by the BostonHerald.com by Thomas Carrillo, Wednesday, July 15, 2009. It says Raytheon wins $30 million space defense contract. Raytheon Co. was awarded one of three $30 million contracts for the design and prototype of the space fence. This system will provide the U.S. Air Force enhanced space surveillance capability to detect and report space objects. Space fence is the future of space situational awareness, said Peter Franklin, a Raytheon vice president, in a statement. This sensor will have the capability to detect and track very small objects in the Earth orbit. The program is a multi-phase acquisition leading to the discovery of up to three globally positioned radars capable of working with the space surveillance network. The system will ensure there is no gap in capability as the current systems in the network reach the end of their lifespans. So, yeah, this is basically, like we discussed with Freeman earlier, this is another tactic of them to use even minuscule objects in the Earth's atmosphere to try to weaponize space. And, you know, I don't think people realize this. If we can see a marble out in outer space, then they can see through your kitchen window. And at least they're alerting us as to what's going on. You know, they can't keep a total leash on the information, so this is another little story that slips out, really painting a picture of, you know, how deep their the money and funding into their surveillance network is going. Okay, in other news, we had another shuttle launch off. This article is by Adrian Covert. I found it over at popsci.com, the title of which is Space Shuttle Endeavor Finally Lifts Off, Suffers Possible Damage. Subline, NASA still determining the effect of falling fuel tank debris. Okay, NASA's Endeavour shuttle launched yesterday evening after a near-record 5 delays on a mission to aid the International Space Station construction for 16 days. However, the craft lost about a dozen pieces of fuel tank debris during liftoff, possibly causing damage to the shuttle. NASA officials are going to spend the next few days evaluating the damage, the extent of which is currently unknown. Their main concern revolves around re-entry, where the loss of materials could play a role in a safe landing. What they do know is that the loose material caused some visible damage to the heat-resistant tiles on the underside of the Endeavour, but they think it's just surface scuffing. They also reported that one of the three fuel cells in the Endeavour wasn't working properly, but believe the loss margin will also be an insignificant factor. To be safe, they'll do an inspection of the wings using a laser scanner to make sure they're structurally sound, and when they approach the ISS, they'll flip the craft to get a look at the possibly damaged underbelly, a maneuver that's becoming standard procedure after similar damage caused the breakup of the Shuttle Columbia during re-entry. Other than that, the Endeavour launch was reported as smooth, and there's a link there to the New York Times. I've seen in subsequent little snippets, which is very rare because I don't really watch news on TV any longer, that they said that all the little what they call scuffing of the tiles caused no damage and that it's not a cause for concern. Okay, and I think I failed to mention earlier that all of these stories that I'm reading can be you can read yourself live over there at mysticpolitics.com. I'm going to go ahead and play a little song now while I get everybody in line over in this chat room. You can chat with us live over at mysticpolitics.com. Let me see here. What are we going to play here? We're going to play a little bit of Ziggy Stardust for you guys, okay? And I will be back very shortly. This song is about 4 minutes long, and then we will get into the other articles. We'll be right back.
guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white pants. God-given ass, he took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar. Making love with his ego, Ziggy sucked up into his mind, like a leper messiah. When the kid that killed the man,
everybody. Yeah, that was David Bowie with Ziggy Stardust. All right, so yeah, having problems. I don't know what's going on with the Listen Live player. There's to the Blog Talk radio listeners, there's no problem, but the problem being there's a delay with over at mysticpolitics.com for the player to pick up the live broadcast. So I'd rather people, you know, give me clicks over here at my website. So I usually just direct mysticpolitics.com, you know, I direct them over here. So, but there's no problems over there for the Blog Talk radio players. Let's do like a little roll call over here. I know we have Nathan Five Ash, a.k.a. Bag of Beefy. We have DJ B2, who I see is refreshing because he keeps jumping in and out of the chat. We have Ultimate Bob, who is a Ultimate Freeman fan over there. He does a lot of stuff for him on YouTube. Okay, over in the Blog Talk radio chat, we have Boogeyman 7167, we have Con _ Fusion, and we have Emerald Rose. Hi, guys. Drop a little high in there. Okay, so getting on with, let's see here, we just covered the Space Shovel Endeavor and the Raytheon's $30 million contract to develop more space monitoring. Okay, this is getting into another article here. This one is by Tariq Malik. This is, I found it at roguegovernment.com. Now, this article is called Buzz Aldrin, Put Humans on Mars by 2031. Here we go. Okay, and once again for the Blog Talk Radio people, you can go and check out all these blog entries over at mysticpolitics.com. Everything I'm going to be reading on the show tonight, you can find there. Okay. The moon may have been the entire world for a day for Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin 40 years ago, but today he hopes the United States would set their sights on a far grander goal, spreading humanity to Mars and perhaps asteroids and comets. but NASA's plan to replace its three aging space shuttles with Orion capsules to carry astronauts to the moon by 2020 may not justify its $35 billion cost if it stops there, says Aldrin. One of the first humans to set foot on the moon during the Apollo 11 landing on July 20, 1969. Instead, the United States can aid international partners in exploring the moon and free up its own spaceflight resources to develop systems with even more ambitious goals, he told in an interview. While the international explorers, with our help, are going to the moon, we can develop the long-duration life support systems for other things, says Aldrin, 79. Flying by a comet, visiting an asteroid, and station-keeping with it. Okay, Mars within reach. With an international base on the moon and vital technologies like in-space refueling, Aldrin envisions an ambitious series of expeditions to send astronauts on a deep space mission to visit asteroid Apophis. We had discussed Apophis earlier this week with Freeman Fly. If you guys missed that that show, go check it out. It was by far the most interesting show I've ever done. Okay. So, blah, 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 where were we? Okay. A series of expeditions to send astronauts on a deep space mission to visit the asteroid Apophis when it swings near Earth in 2021. A temporary manned base on Mars Moon Phobos could follow, he added. By that time, we'd be ready to put people on a gradual permanence on Mars in 2031, Aldrin said. That, in a nutshell, is really what I think we should be doing. NASA's current transition from the space shuttle to Orion is a huge step backward, Aldrin said. The shuttle may not have lived up to its initial expectations, but its ability to haul tons of cargo into orbit and land on a runway is a capability that should not be lost in order to replace it with something faster and cheaper, he stressed. What happens to U.S. global leadership is everything is going to be done on the cheap, and we're not going to think ahead. We're going back to the moon for the same reason they can't justify the cost of human habitation, he said. The United States could do things that this nation can do and strive towards maintaining globally space leaderships. And that means lifting bodies, runaway landers, and not going back to the moon, because we've been there, Aldrin said. Let's see here. The moon at heart. While the future of American spaceflight remains to be seen, Aldrin says he takes comfort in knowing that the history-making Apollo 11 moon landing still resonates today. I'm kind of glad it does, he said. Whatever we do in space is not front page unless there's something going wrong or highly unusual, and it doesn't capture the budget discussion. Aldrin Neil Armstrong spent a day on the lunar surface and just 2.5 hours walking inside their Eagle lander. Their crewmate Michael Collins orbited overhead inside the command module Columbia. Five other Apollo moon landings followed. In the past, Aldrin frankly recounted the depression and bout with alcoholism that followed his flight aboard Apollo 11. Now, 40 years after the mission, he said he's matured considerably since the flight. His last space mission his last space mission, and has released a new autobiography, Magnificent Desolation. In a bid to spark interest in spaceflights in today's youth ad children, he rapped about the moonshot with Snoop Dogg and Talib Kweli and has a new children's book about space exploration. The Apollo 11 anniversary, he said, is a chance for NASA to remind the public life of the country's technical prowess. I do think that it does momentarily keep the public abreast of what we're doing now, but they'll look back, Aldrin said. Of course, it's been a long time. So many people weren't alive when those things happened, but those that are, I guess, maturing a little bit and look back with a little bit of nostalgia. A little bit of bad grammar there in the article. That wasn't just me. Okay. Well, it looks about the same when I look at it, Aldrin says, but I know inside. It sounds kind of trite, but that's not really the stranger that it was. It's somewhat of a friend now because I've been there. Aldrin said he vividly remembers. Great, I tried to type in the chat room and a window jumped on me. Okay. Vividly remembers the first moonwalk. Armstrong called the view beautiful, but it was not much. But it was so much more. Aldrin said saw what he described as magnificent desolation. Beautiful, I thought, that's not quite right. It's magnificent that we're here, but what a desolate place it was. He recalls the apparent stillness. No life, no motion, no air. and just the same uniform color of all the dust reflected light, the dust that reflected light differently depending on the angle of the sun in your view, Aldrin said. It wasn't a very welcome place at all. Okay, that's the end of the article. Now, that, I mean, that's just kind of BS there. So he says they have – so what kind of life are you talking about? Boogeyman, 7167? I don't know. We're going to get to life later. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Random chatter from the chat rooms. Okay. Listening – people listening to Freeman. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask Boogeyman what kind of life is he talking about. Okay, moving on to the next article. These are all space articles. I mean, all the ones that caught my eye this week were all space stuff, but then again. And here's another one here. And keep in mind, people, that the article that they had talked about earlier, they said they had found the originals in Australia. They didn't say that they had found the original. The original Reuters article had said that they had found the original tape. Some native, most other aliens. Okay. Anyways, they had found the original tape of the NASA Apollo landing. Sorry, people. I'm going schizophrenic over here. Hold on. Let me see. www.mystic. Yeah, people, it's easier if we just go on one chat. Okay. Okay, but anyways. Yeah, so basically, I remember seeing this, that they said in Australia that they had recovered the original taped landings. Now, I didn't see them specify that they it was the original recording of the recording of the projection of the original tapes. I didn't see that. I saw original tapes. Okay, so... Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yes, they live with the David Icke picture saying he's listening to my stuff on YouTube. It's funny stuff there. Okay, so now keep that in mind while we're listening to this. NASA lost moon footage, but Hollywood restores it. Published on 7/16/2009, source AP, via rogovernment.com. NASA could put a man on the moon, but they didn't have the sense to keep the original video of the live TV transmission. In an embarrassing acknowledgement, the space agency said Thursday that it must have erased the Apollo 11 moon footage years ago so it could reuse the videotape. But now Hollywood is coming to the rescue. The studio wizards who restored Casablanca are digitally sharpening and cleaning up the ghostly, grainy footage of the moon landing, making it even better than what the TV viewer saw on July 20th, 1969. They're doing it now by working from four copies that the NASA scrounged from around the world. There's nothing being created. There's nothing being manufactured, said NASA Senior Director Dick Nafziger, who is in charge of the product. You can now see the detail that's coming out. The first batch of restored footage was released just in time for the 40th anniversary of the One Giant Leap for Mankind. And some of the details seem new because of their sharpness. Originally, astronaut Neil Armstrong's face visor was too fuzzy to be seen clearly. The upgraded video of the Earth's first moonwalker shows a visor and a reflection on it. The $230,000 refurbishing effort is only 3 weeks into a months-long project, and only 40% of the work that is has been done. But it shows improvements in four snippets. Armstrong walking down the lander, Buzz Aldrin following him, and the two astronauts reading a plaque they left on the moon, and the planting of the flag on the lunar surface. Nafziger said a huge search that had begun 3 years ago for the old moon tapes led to the inescapable conclusion that 45 tapes of the Apollo 11 video were erased and reused. His report on that will come out in a few weeks. The original videos beamed to Earth were stored on giant reels, giant reels of tape that each contained 15 minutes of video, along with other data from the moon. In the 1970s and 80s, NASA had a shortage of the tape, so they erased about 200,000 of them and reused them. Okay, I don't buy that whatsoever, but moving on. How did NASA end up looking like a bumbling husband taping over his wedding video with the Super Bowl? Napster, who was in charge of the live TV recordings back in the Apollo years, said they were mostly thought of as data tapes. It wasn't his job to preserve history, he said, just to make sure the footage worked. In retrospect, he had wished NASA hadn't reused the tapes. Outside historians were aghast. It's surprising to me NASA didn't have the common sense to save perhaps the most important historical footage of the 20th century, said Rice University historian and author Douglas Brinkley. He noted that NASA saved all sorts of data and artifacts from Apollo 11, and it's mind-boggling that the tapes just disappeared. The remastered copies may look good, but when dealing with historical film footage, you always want the original to study, Brinkley said. Smithsonian Institution's space curator Roger Lanius, a former NASA chief historian, said the loss of the original video, quote-unquote, doesn't surprise me that much. It was a mistake, no doubt, Lanius said, that this is a problem inside the entire federal government. They don't think that preservation is that important. Laney said the federal warehouses where historical artifacts are saved are kind of like the scene from the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It just goes away in this place with other big boxes. The company that restored the Indiana Jones movie, including Raiders, is the one bailing out NASA. Lowry Digital of Burbank, California, noted that Casablanca had a pixel count 10 times higher than the moon video, meaning the Apollo 11 footage was fuzzier than the vintage movie and a lot more of a challenge in one sense. Of all the video of the companies dealt with, this is by far and away the lowest quality, said Lowry President Mike Inchelik. Wow, Mike Inchelik. Napster appraised Lowry for restoring crispness to the Apollo video. Historian Lanius wasn't as blown away. It is certainly a little better than the original, Lanius said. It's not a lot better. The Apollo 11 video remains in black and white, Inchelik said, and would never consider colorizing it, as had been done to the black and white classic films, and the moon is mostly gray anyways. The restoration used four video sources, CBS News Originals, kinescopes from the National Archives, a video from Australia that received the transmission of the original moon video, and camera shots of a TV monitor. Both Napster and Inchelik acknowledged that digitally remastered the video could further encourage conspiracy theorists who believe NASA faked the entire moon landing on a Hollywood set. But they said they enhanced the video as conservatively as possible. Besides, Inchelik said, if there had been a conspiracy to fake a moon landing, NASA would surely have created a higher quality film. I don't see the logic there, but okay. Back in 1969, nearly 40% of picture quality was lost, converting from one video format used on the moon called slow scan to something that could be played on TVs on Earth, Napster said. NASA did not lose other Apollo missions videos because they weren't stored on the type of tape that needed to be reused, Napster said. As part of the moon landing's 40th anniversary, the space agency has been trolling out archival material. NASA has a website with audio from private conversations in the lunar module and command capsule. The agency is also webcasting radio from Apollo 11 as if the mission was taking place today. The video restoration product did not involve improving the sound. Inchelik said he listened to Armstrong's famous last words from the surface of the moon, trying to hear if he said once a small step for man or once a small step for a man, but couldn't tell. Through a letter read in a news conference Thursday, Armstrong said the last word about the video from the moon, "I was just amazed that there wasn't any picture at all." Okay, whatever that meant. Okay, copy this link here. Copy link location. Let's see if this works here. Fuck, that doesn't work. Wait, NASA Apollo Multimedia HD Apollo 11. Okay, let me try to copy this here. Wonder why it's converting it when I mouse over here. I'll just go ahead and cut the paste as it appears in my article here. Here's a link of the new restored footage if you guys haven't seen it. I'll drop that on the Mystic Politics chat and over there at the Blog Talk Radio chat. There you go, guys. Okay. Very interesting stuff. I'm going to get into a little bit of commentary about that towards the end. You'll see why when I read the next couple articles. Okay. How about the moon, the moon, the moon? We have people bombing the moon to check the chemical composition of it, which we got into real briefly. Yeah, DJ B2 in the Mystic Politics chat room and said, digitally remastered to erase the UFOs and aliens. That's pretty much what I think. You know, I do believe that we landed on the moon. I just don't believe it happened like it was portrayed to the public. I know a lot of stuff. I think that I'll get into that later. Okay. So once again, all these articles can be read over at the blog section of mysticpolitics.com, and there's a pop out. There's a couple different options on the Blog Talk Radio player. What I like to do the most is I like to click the option where you can listen in your default player, and I listen via iTunes or Windows Media Player. You can do that, or what you can do is pop out the screen, or there's a little pop-out button underneath the Blog Talk Radio player, so you can navigate mysticpolitics.com without losing the stream, which will happen if you're just listening in the embedded player, which no big deal. You can just go ahead and press play again, and you'll pick up the stream again. Now, more moon news. Moon potential gold mine of natural resources. This was published on 7/16/2009, a.k.a. 2 days ago. Source AFP, I don't know what that is, via roguegovernment.com. Okay, as the Earth's natural resources gradually dwindle, some scientists believe the moon could prove a potential gold mine. Excuse me. The moon could prove a gold mine for future generations. 40 years after American Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon, and as the United States prepares to return astronauts to the Earth's nearest neighbor by 2020, it seems an object of fascination and curiosity. Part of the goal, once again, returning is to our only satellite and establishing bases there, is to learn more about its hidden natural resources. The moon still has a great deal of scientific information left to be discovered, and that relates directly to our understanding of the history of the Earth and early history of other planets, geologist Harrison Schmidt told AFP. Schmidt landed on the moon in 1972 aboard the Apollo 17, the last manned mission to ever touch down on the lunar surface. I'm sorry, people, I can't type in and read at the same time. I'm retarded. Okay. The last manned mission to ever touch down on the lunar surface. He is among the elite group of 12 Americans who are the only people to have ever walked on the moon. Among the 382 kilos, 842 pounds of rocks and lunar soil brought back by astronauts from the moon during 6 Apollo missions is a rock that scientists call Genesis, which dates back to about 4.5 million years ago, which is about the time the solar system began. Well, that's very interesting, is it? For a lot of the conspiracy researchers who say that the moon is just completely not of the solar system whatsoever, and you know that's really where I lean. I think that is just a alien satellite, kind of like the Death Star floating around Saturn. It's just a completely barren thing. Just the fact that it has the perfect orbit, it's a geosynchronous orbit, and it's not elliptical like everything else, which is naturally occurring. It seems to be propelled by its own to keep its rotation perfect, and is the perfect distance away in between us and the sun to provide perfect lunar and solar eclipses. So, you know, I don't believe that thing is just wound up there. Yes. Okay, so here we go. Moving on. The moon, which has virtually no atmosphere, I don't buy that either, is effectively a geological blank slate for scientists because it does not have the contact with water and air that has changed Earth's surface. One reason to go back to the moon is to find out whether there's anything of value to be done there. If the answer is yes, you can do economically valuable things and use local resources, said John Schlodgson, a curator at Washington National Air and Space Museum. America's new lunar program, dubbed Constellation, was launched in 2004 with the intention of establishing a forward operating system for astronauts, as well as seek evidence of water beneath the moon's ground ice. President Barack Obama has appointed a commission to review the program's cost and goals, but the launch last month of 2 preparatory lunar modules suggests that it is likely to proceed in some form. Several other countries, including China and Russia, have announced their ambitions to send missions to the moon, which is 384,000 kilometers, 238,855 miles from Earth, about a four-day trip by space shuttle. Okay, looking at a link over there by Ultimate Bob in the chat room. Okay, Schmidt, blah, 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 blah. I think that you will see the at least Arctic-like scientific outposts and maybe even larger facilities on the moon with people spending long durations there, Lodgson told AFP, whatever AFP is. Schmidt, a former astronaut, noted that the moon's soil is rich in helium-3, which comes from the outer layer of the sun and is blown around the system by the solar winds. The element is rarely found on Earth, unlike on the moon, where it is heavily accumulated because it is pushed away by the Earth's magnetic poles. Helium-3 is highly sought from nuclear fusion. Although the technology is still in its infancy, the element will ultimately be quite valuable on Earth. I like how they said fusion is in its infancy. It didn't say it's, you know, as if it's already been created. So, it's not the only solution to accelerating demand for energy that we are going to see on Earth, but it's certainly one of the major potential solutions to that demand. Reserves of helium-3 on the moon are in the order of 1 million tons, according to some estimates, and just 25 tons could serve the power of the European Union and the United States for a year. The moon, I like how they said the European Union and not just Europe, but it's the United States and not North America and the European Union. But anyways, the moon is also an ideal location for astronauts to prepare and train for long missions into space, including Mars, according to NASA. Lunar exploration will allow us to test technology systems, flight operation, and exploration techniques that will reduce the risk and cost of potential human missions to asteroids, Mars, and beyond. Okay, so see, the thing is now. So now they're saying we're gonna go mine the Earth for helium-3, which is another non-renewable form of fuel, when we can just have geothermic energy on the Earth by capping one volcano and utilizing tidal energy. You know, if we put strategic, it's just like what is that, guys, people? You know, a lot of it's technocratic religion, you know, atheistic, you know, just spirituality bashing, you know, drivel in zeitgeist. But they have a lot of the parts about the Federal Reserve System and the money system being bad. That's 100% right on, in my opinion. The parts about the energy and the technocratic age, which is coming, you know, it seems the zeitgeist guys are just total technocracy cats. But, you know, there's something to be said for growing our own hydroponic food, you know, killing less animals, and doing a lot of stuff like that. How can you cap a volcano? Boogeyman said, well, you know, I don't know, look into it. It's just you use whatever. You shear off the top of it, and you place whatever their little geothermic technology is to just harvest the, I believe it's the gas emissions from the volcano. They're just the immense heat, and they convert that geothermic or just the thermal waves of energy into energy. Another form is the creates crystals, I guess. Geothermic energy isn't my idea. So, you know, it's, I don't know, look into it. They went into it real briefly on Zeitgeist, but yeah, it's not a new idea. I don't know the particulars on how to cap a volcano. I'm not an engineer. So, Boogeyman7167 is also the guy who said the president is the most powerful man in the world. So, when he called into one of our first broadcasts. So, yeah. Anyways, okay. So, the point being, there's no need to just go to another, spend billions of dollars to go to another false satellite that's in our solar system and mine helium-3, which is another non-renewable source of energy, when if we can just put the properly placed, what are those little called, little windmill things, windmill energy generators in just three strategic states and strategic positions where the wind current is strongest in America, it would take care of all of our energy needs. And, you know, I believe if South America and Europe, they can get all their energy from wave technology. Okay, so blah, 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 whatever. Enough energy. You know, fuck it. If you want to go, if you want to go harvest oil and still, you know, do all that outdated stuff, just go for it. Yeah, I don't really care. Okay. Is the U.S. flag planted on the moon 40 years ago still standing? And I thought Freeman said last week during our show on Thursday, I thought he said the original flag was in the Council of 33, or I don't know, with the Lodge of the 33rd. I don't know. I'll have to go check out the archives on that, because I was thinking about that when I heard this story. And Boogeyman, you know, I wish – I'm just going to hold on. Let me see here. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Bam. That's right. I said fuck it. Yeah, I put the maturity level on this show at mature or adult, so I could cuss, because some of the music I'm playing has curse words in it. So fuck it. So, is the U.S. flag planted on the moon 40 years ago still there? Published on 7/17/2009, a.k.a. yesterday, or July 17th, 6009, in the Anna Lucius calendar. Okay, Spores, space.com, via rogue government.com. Is the U.S. flag planted on the moon 40 years ago still standing? That's one of the many questions researchers hope will be answered this year by new pictures of the old Apollo landing sites. A plan to photograph the historic lunar locations with NASA's new Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, LRO, revealed yesterday on space.com, should be a boon to lunar archaeologists who aim to solve some long-standing mysteries and also get a historic landmark designation for Apollo 13 touchdown site. The first moon landing on the Apollo 11 crew took place on July 20, 1969. The new photos, expected in the coming days, weeks, and months, will be of keen interest to archaeologists involved in the Lunar Legacy project. They contend that Apollo 11's Tranquility Base should be seen as an anthropological site and deserves preservation for all present and future inhabitants of the Earth. Even after our research, I still think we don't know exactly what is on the Tranquility site and how it's placed, said Beth O'Leary of the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at New Mexico State University in Las Cruces. Okay, O'Leary created the NASA-funded project to make Apollo 11 landing site on the moon a historical landmark. The idea of cultural resource management in space is also highlighted in a new book, The Handbook of Space Engineering, Archaeology, and Heritage, that she co-edited with Anne Duran of Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland. What is the condition of the Tranquility Base after 40 years? Was the American flag blown over as the Eagles ascent and is now bleached? And is now a bleached skeleton? What are the relatively long-term effects of lunar environment on human artifacts? All good questions, O'Leary pointed out. We need to know where material culture resides on the moon. Many parts and pieces of our time, certainly in the area of early robotics on the moon, are missing from the database, O'Leary told Space.com. Although the project of taking high-resolution images is intensive and costly, O'Leary said, the possibility exists to locate humankind's lunar leftovers precisely, assess their position and condition, and most importantly, decide then what and how to preserve this record for future generations. We have a chance to assess the totality of our time on the moon so far and plan for the future now. So blah, 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 blah. Okay, moving over to the chat room. Okay, I put Boogeyman 7167 on ignore, and so I don't know what he's saying in there. So some of the stuff in the Blog Talk Radio chat is non sequitorial. I wonder if I can just kick him out. He's a couple time offender, which is derailing my show. It just bam, booted. That's right. That's what happens. You know what I mean? If you come in my chat room and you start talking about, so if the president of the United States is not the most powerful man in the world, then who is it? Have you ever heard of the National Security Council? Huh? You ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations? Huh? Have you ever heard of the Rothschilds? No? What about the Council for National Policy? No? Not ringing any bells? What about the NSA, the shadow government, the CIA? Huh? What about MJ5? What about all these people, you know, who we can't track their movements? What about Dick Cheney and his assassination ring? You know, that was one of the articles I passed over this week because I had a kind of a moon thing going on here. So, I mean, like, really, if you're coming into a conspiracy chat and you're talking about, you know, then if the president is not, I mean, really, read a book, dude. Like, what? Like, don't come in here and expect me to educate you, because it's not going to happen. I can't take a half hour of your life or of my life to point out the most obvious stuff ever. Okay, so blah blah blah. Okay, so here we go. You know, in fact, let's see here. How many articles do I have left here? Jesus, that's a long article. Okay, I'm going to get into one. I'm going to read, power through this one. Then we're going to play a song. Then we have one article left over here. Okay. NASA orbiter returns first shot to the Apollo moon sites. NASA's lunar orbiter has returned its first picture of the Apollo landing sites. The images showing and the moon's showing the mission's lunar module descent stages accented by their shadows from a low sun angle may at least prove diehard conspiracy theorists that NASA went to considerable lengths to relocate its secret movie studio in the Nevada desert. So basically they're saying, ha ha, yeah, I know. Somebody's saying maybe he needs to learn, though. But, I mean, it's the second time he's came with that. I sit there, and on the second show that I did, I sat there and explained to the dude how he was. And even though Nick immediately hung up on him, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the term troll, but someone who just comes into your chat room and just asks innocuous, weird questions to try to throw you off. And, you know, I try to... You know, it's very hard for me to do two things at once, as in look at the chat and then do the radio show at the same time. So when I got a troll in there asking just stupid questions, you know, and his name's a mile long, and he's got like a bright red little icon for his name. So when it pops up, my eyes jump over to it, and I start reading it. It delays the article. It's whatever. You know what I mean? If this isn't for first-day conspiracy theorists, my whole life I've been looking into a lot of this stuff, okay? So I don't really have a lot of time to deal with it. If you don't know the basic structure of the Illuminati, you need to go look out the Club of Rome, the Grand Druidic Council, the Council of 13, the Council of 33, the CFR, who Hillary Clinton in an article this week came out and said that the CFR really runs America. So blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them. But anyways... I shouldn't let myself get derailed. But anyways, you know, I don't even want to read that article. It's pretty much the same thing. They're just basically taking pictures of the moon and trying to say that the you know, the landing happened as per, you know, whatever. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that. But what we will get into now, where's that song at? Okay, here's one of my favorite Sublime songs, people. It's about, I don't know, 4 minutes long, and it's... this is the reason that I had to put this on the chair. All right? Yeah.
I heard that, hey, that's a motherfucking bitch, but I won't stress and I won't switch, and I would not take my life. Glory, please, I've got the only thing on my mind to take up all of my time, and I said, running from a gun, or don't bring that baby gun. My God,
Yes. All right, that song did a lot to calm me down. It's one of my favorite songs from Sublime on 40 Ounces to Freedom. You're listening to Sublime, 40 Ounces to Freedom, their 19th track off their debut LP, which is New Song, live on Misty Politics Radio. Listen to the cool sounds of the rain. Okay, so that's my little radio spiel right there. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's another thing here about a long-ass article. I don't even know if I can read this article in 10 minutes. It says, could the moon landings be fake? Some still think so. And this is on CNN, and I saw their, you know, they all those CNN anchors are so scripted. I was watching CNN throughout the last couple days, and it just, they all get talking points, and they're in the memo when they're, you know, when they're passing up the donuts in the memos, they must have got a little something and said, talk about conspiracy theorists who were talking about the moon and giggle about it. They're like, huh, oh, can you believe some people still believe that? Oh, giggle, giggle, giggle. Even though, you know, now all this new stuff is coming out. So it's just kind of, you know, whatever, man. You know, no, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. And yeah, exactly. The film footage was certainly fake, and it was, man. You can go on YouTube and look up faked or fake moon. I spent like a whole – it was about a year ago, I think, and I spent about a day looking into the fake moon landing because I just thought someone was, you know, out of their mind. And they go into it, and there's pictures of when the – there's audio of the footage taken from inside the capsule of the moon. It turned out – yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they say that it was performed or directed by Stanley Kubrick, fresh off his 2001 film directorial, whatever, that the NASA got Stanley Kubrick to direct it. Not trying to be, but the Paranormal Palace guy had on last week. It was quite entertaining. I don't know what that means, Emerald Rose. Are you talking about Freeman on my last radio show? Somebody says, Emerald Rose says, not to be disrespectful, but Paranormal Palace had guy on last week was quite entertaining. I'm not sure what that means. So, anyways. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Now, you know, I'm going to shut down the blog. You can read that article on mysticpolitics.com in the blog section. Yeah, the video footage of I'm talking in particular of when the astronauts were inside the shuttle and they're showing the half moon image of it. Now they found a longer extended clip of that which wasn't edited like it was on TV, and they're showing it that after the guy got done talking, they had thought they had turned the camera off, but they hadn't. So the camera went moving, and you watched all of a sudden the moon go from a crescent moon to a full moon, and then it turns out that it wasn't the moon at all that you were looking at. It's just the guy had been holding up a piece of paper up to a round shaped window, giving the appearance of a crescent moon in the sky. So DJB2 is in the Blog Talk Radio chat. Oh, awesome. So, yes, I'm going to the Freeman. I'm going to Freeman chat, too. So basically, after this, I will be heading over to freemantv.com. It's actually, I don't know, it's what is it, Free Zone Radio? DJ, if you can, drop a link to Freeman's chat in there because it's great stuff. Great stuff going on there. So there is, okay, he was an author of the Secret Service, but you know a plant admitting to life on Mars and time travels, so you know further. Emerald Rose, I'm really missing what you're saying there. Feel free to call in. If you want to call in real quick and explain what you're saying, I don't mind if you're going to plug in another show or whatever, but it's 646-949-0049. I'll go ahead and drop that into the chat room here. If you can try to call in, we have 5 minutes left. I don't really understand what you're saying or that how that pertains to what's going on, but yeah, there's all kinds of fakery going on, and there's problems with the pictures and this and that. My hypothesis with the moon landing, what I personally think, is that there was a moon landing. It didn't happen like it was televised to people. I believe that, yes, if everybody states that we're, you know, 50 to 100 to 200 years beyond the technology which is presented to the public, then I think in 200 years technology that we can go to the moon. Okay? So I do think we went there. I think we went there with the not private science program, which we share with Russia. You know, if you look at William Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse, the four-hour interview, he shows pictures of the Russian space shuttle with Russian images on it and language writings, things of that nature. And thanks, DJ. Yeah, everybody follow me over to Freeman TV when we go over there after the show ends in about 3 minutes. It is me. Okay, I don't know what's going on with that. Hey, Ultimate Bob went over to the Blog Talk Radio. All right, go ahead and call in. Let me see here. You're on the air.
Hi, Gator.
Okay, what you talking about, lady?
Okay, Paranormal Palace had an author on. His name was Andrew... I believe Gossetti, something like this.
Okay.
Well, he was supposedly, of course, a Secret Service agent.
Okay.
And he was talking about how they were now admitting there's life on Mars and how they're admitting now to time travel.
Interesting. And who exactly is admitting to time travel? The powers that be, or
yeah, right. The powers that be, exactly. So we know that they have more technology than that if they're admitting to that much.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I think people really need to pull their head out of their collective asses, to use a William Cooper quote. Always crack me up. You heard him say, bust that one out a couple times. But, as far as this space program, it's way beyond what people think. People think that we don't have Star Wars. They spent billions of dollars on Star Wars. We have that. That article I read in regards to Raytheon says now they're even the – all right, we only have 60 seconds left. Is there anything you want to say else in regards to that?
Just I thought it was really hilarious. And, I just had to put that in there, so –
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate you calling. That is very interesting info. Feel free to call back anytime. Yeah, in regards to time travel, and that's something I think about. Shoot, I only have 28 seconds left. I'm going to have to go ahead and switch to a two-hour show on the weekends, I think, because this just isn't enough time for me. But, I often think that they do just enough to squeak by unnoticed, unscathed, this Illuminati, because they may have conquered the fourth dimension. They know just who to put up at the right time, what to do, what not to do. I don't know. Check us out at mysticpolitics.com. There's all our social profiles there. Remember to stay growing, and if you keep your conclusions tentative, you're always going to keep growing. Bye.